welcome into another episode of a Colorado Craft Podcast by Mile High Bourbon and Rye. It has been a little too long since the last episode, but we're back at it here down at Crazy Mountain Brewery on 15th and Ogden, downtown Denver, hanging out with Chuck Rasko, Chuck Rasko Photography.
Good to be here. Lovely Colorado afternoon.
Yes, it's, let's see, I spent the entire day basically outside yesterday in sunshine and beautiful weather, walked around the zoo, and today it is raining and the ice storm rain stabbed my face as I tried to take a morning walk. So just a good old regular Colorado time. Before we get too deep into this, I do want to give again a great shout out to Crazy Mountain Brewery. These guys give us a little spot to sit and record. Awesome beer as well. I've got the Hey June Juniper Hazy IPA, and Chuck, you're sipping on...
That's the Blood Orange IPA.
So...
Quite a tasty little treat.
Couple IPAs here. They've got some excellent beers on tap. They usually feature a couple of guest taps, too. So, plenty of choices, excellent things to choose from. And if you ever come down here, too, they've got live music on some nights. Mm-hmm. You can come hang out here before you go to a concert at the Ogden, because it's literally right next door. Catch some sporting games on all the TVs all around. We're periodically checking in on NHL stats because,
why not?
As y'all know, I'm a huge hockey guy, and if it's there, then I'm probably going to try to take a look at it. So if I randomly look off camera, it's just hockey. Like Avalanche right there, right up on the screen. See? I always know when the Avs are on TV, man. So, all right. Well, on this show, since I should probably introduce it a little bit, I talk everything Colorado craft. Typically that revolves around beer, wine, and spirits, beer being the drink that we're having here today. But oftentimes it revolves around other things that are crafted in Colorado. That could be if you're a musician, if you're a sculptor, if you're a painter, or if you're a pretty wicked photographer, and you got shots like this one sitting behind us. So Chuck being my guest today, Chuck, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
All right, so I'm Chuck Rasko. Chuck Rasko Photography is one of my photography brands. Shooting landscape, nightscape, macro, everything in between. I'd spent all summer and long out in the mountains, trying to get different shots, anything from sunrise and sunset to Milky Way photos. And I do stuff like this when it's cold and wet and nasty outside, and I don't want to go play in the snow.
This is an awesome shot too. So Chuck ended up picking up a bottle of this, the Seven Distiller collaboration. I'm sure everybody who's been on the show or paid attention to the show or watched social media has heard about it. Hopefully y'all picked up a bottle, because it was, that was a good bottle.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bottle. I was happily
very impressed with it, and raised money for great causes. Each distillery got to choose their own charity to donate it to, and you ended up getting this great shot. Now, you were telling me before we went live here, or before we started recording, rather, that this was actually shot on a pool table?
Yeah, so this is my basement. I set it up on my pool table. The what looks like a tabletop is actually my brisket cutting board, so it's a 2.5 foot wide cutting board. I just set it up on. I've got a couple lights off to the side of it. And yeah, I'm just sitting down in the basement. That's where the magic happens during the winter.
I love this shot. So I've actually got in the little recording area I've set up in my basement, this will now sit down. I purchased this one just a little bit ago to be my backdrop, in addition to all the Avalanche and Broncos and whiskey bottles. Backdrop. Yeah, all the other stuff. I've got an additional cool piece of backdrop. So before we get out of here, Chuck, I'll let you guys know where you can buy your very own print like this. I will Vanna White it here. Excellent, excellent work. But seriously, you can definitely pick one up. So, but Chuck, tell us, how'd you get into, when did you first pick up a camera? How'd this all start off?
Oh, first picked up a camera, I was probably 8-10 years old, playing around with the family camera on family vacations. I moved up into the disposable cameras you used to buy at Walgreens.
Oh, yeah.
Those, highly technological pieces of art. And then once I got into, once I got in the Army and got to my first duty station, I used my first paycheck to buy my first, we'll say, real camera.
Yeah.
My first SLR. And I just started, you know, shooting things around me and just taking pictures. You know, I was in aviation in the Army, so I had plenty of pictures of helicopters when I first started out.
They're very photogenic.
There they are, yeah. Yeah. And so I started there, did that for, you know, I basically had a camera with me wherever I went. I took my first digital camera, which was a 2-megapixel HP. Wow. I took that to Afghanistan with me.
Yeah, two whole megapixels.
Whole megapixels.
Jeez, yeah. I mean,
it was a screamer.
Man, this thing's got, I think this has got at least six. Right. Yeah.
I took that to Afghanistan with me and kind of tinkered around over there, got some cool stuff over there. And then after I got out of the military, it just kind of started picking up more and more. After I finished grad school, my wife bought me my first, we'll call it professional, digital SLR camera, and been building on it ever since.
Awesome.
So,
I've seen a lot of different shots that you've taken and everything, obviously. Excellent, excellent work. Well, we're going to jump in. So everybody who follows is, you know, follows me on social knows that this episode is a re-recording of an episode that should have come out like 2 months ago. But thanks to computer dying, and I do backups, but the backup was corrupted. And so imagine if you had to listen through all of this conversation, which you may be torture for you anyway, but and then you have this added clicking noise that pops in and cuts out about 3 seconds of audio about every 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's just a nightmare. So
it was fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Before we adjusted all the audio, it sounded like we were a couple of chipmunks too.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal, but we're doing it again here. So this conversation we've already had, but for everybody out there to kind of know, what's one of your favorite spots that you've shot in Colorado?
One of my favorite spots to go to is up in Rocky Mountain National Park, because I can get the full gamut of Colorado, right? And start out in one corner and shoot sunrise, and you know, hike up to a mountain vista, a mountain lake, get a little, you know, babbling brooks along the way, and then go to another spot and, you know, get the meadows and Marine Park, and then basically work your way through the park all day, set up in another spot for sunset. And during the summer, you know, every once in a while we happen to stay late and get Milky Way overnight. So
nice.
Get a full gamut of 24 hours of Colorado all in one stop. So,
that's pretty awesome.
That's a pretty good way to spend the day.
So when you're shooting Milky Way, are you just like, I have a very basic knowledge of photography, as in I took a photography class in high school, so, you know, expert right here.
Hey, right, you got one on your phone. You got a camera on your phone, so hey.
Right, everybody's a photography expert now. You're just sitting, is that just super long exposure to get that detail in the Milky Way, or is that just because you're so far out that it's dark enough to get that level of detail?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Basically, I guess our rule of thumb is an hour and a half outside of Denver will get you Milky Way.
Okay.
Except unless you drive to Colorado Springs and keep on going.
Yeah.
An hour and a half, you know, east, west, northwest, will get you into, you know, some dark skies. In general, yeah, my Milky Way exposure times are, you know, in the 10, 15, 20 second range.
Okay, so
for a shot.
Open for a while, but not anything crazy.
Not excruciating, no.
Yeah.
All right. It's a fairly, fairly quick shot for what it is.
Nice. That's pretty awesome, though. Yeah. They turn out awesome.
Yeah.
Love looking at them. They're beautiful, beautiful pictures. Plus, I have a thing for space. So just,
right.
Super nerd. But, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
So. No, those are great. What's your favorite spot that you've shot outside Colorado?
Outside of Colorado, be a toss-up between the Oregon coast and Scotland.
Okay.
A good buddy of mine is from Oregon, and he goes up there regularly.
Yep.
And he's got his own, teaches workshops and stuff up along the coast. And a lot of times my wife and I will go with him just to travel along and hang out. And while he's teaching workshops, we're bouncing around other spots, and then we all kind of link back up. But being along the coast, I mean, I grew up on the coast in Florida.
Yeah.
And so, you know, being back on the coast, just does something for me. And being out in the Pacific Coast is it speaks to me more than the Atlantic Coast that I grew up on. Even
that's so fair.
And then Scotland was just a whole different animal. I mean, we went coastal to mountains to everything in between, and it was just a phenomenal trip. So if you ever get the chance, go to Scotland.
Yeah, haven't been yet. Really, really need to go, both there and Ireland.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't been to Ireland yet, but it is definitely on the list.
Yeah.
And it's an affordable trip. It's nothing, you know, it's plane tickets aren't like ridiculously expensive. And even, you know, we stayed in an Airbnb.
Oh, okay.
In a house, and there was a couple of us, and we just basically split a house over the course of 10 days.
Awesome.
And it was, yeah, easily manageable.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, so I know you're growing your whiskey knowledge. I know you've been enjoying it at the very least.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember your favorite distillery that you visited in Scotland?
In Scotland, our favorite one that we went to was Abelor.
Abelor? Okay.
And we stayed in it was an old castle, literally right next door to the distillery, and they kind of changed it into like a bed and breakfast, Airbnb type hotel.
Okay.
And so what we didn't know was that to get on any of the tours in the distilleries, you had to make reservations like a week out. And so, you know, this is after we'd done all of our, you know, photography that we wanted to do. And we were we followed the whiskey trail and we were going back down to Edinburgh. And we had already booked this hotel for the night. And we were like, hey, the distillery's right next door.
Yeah.
We should go over and see if we can get a tour, right? Talk to these guys and see what this is all about. And so we went over there like right after breakfast. So we're talking, you know, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and we walk in and we're like, hey, can we get on, you know, maybe get a tour? And they're like, no, we're booked solid, you know, all the way, you know, for the next week. They're like, but you're more than welcome to come to the tasting room and we'll tell you about the whiskey. I was
sold.
Like, all right, it's the short tour.
Right, exactly. Yes, it's the course short tour. Yep, exactly. Yeah.
And so, we sat in their tasting room and, you know, we talked to a couple of guys that were working there. And started tasting whiskey at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Great time to start tasting whiskey.
Right up my alley.
Your palate's fresh, so you know, you get all the flavors at that point. It's not muddled down by a whole day of vacation or anything. It's
eating sandwiches and such.
Exactly, yeah, it is ready to go. That's pretty cool. I mean, hanging out in a castle has got to just be...
It was pretty nice. It was pretty epic. That place was... It was neat. It's definitely one of my top places that I've been, and just the experience of being in that castle for a night. It was cool.
And so I've been out on like East Coast U.S., especially Northeast, Boston, Maine, all of that area, and there's a lot of old buildings, but nothing that old. Does it feel like? Do you just feel like you're in?
Yeah, you get around even walking around like when we got into Edinburgh.
Yeah,
I mean even walking around town. I mean. They're, you know, they've got dates on the building, some of the buildings and stuff. I mean, you're talking buildings from like the 1500s. Wow. it feels, you know, they got some of the not necessarily cobblestone streets, but like the stone path streets.
Yeah.
And it's these old, that old architecture, these big stone buildings. And I mean, they're almost like alleys because they're, you know, the streets are so narrow. And I mean, these buildings towering over you. It's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, waiting to see a knight come trotting by on his horse.
No doubt, just got the full armor and everything.
Right.
I mean, honestly, wouldn't be surprised if you told me you did see someone like that.
Not that trip.
That's reserved for the others.
Right, yeah.
The other trip, a little more touristy for that.
You gotta go back again, but you know, get on the frequent visitor.
frequent flyer, frequent rider. I don't know what that will be.
Something like that. Yep.
That's awesome. But so the Abelor, what stood out about the whiskey itself for you?
So it was a little bit further south. So we spent most of our trip up on the Isle of Skye.
Okay.
And there, that Isle of Skye, that region, it's known for being really peaty. Yeah. And really, I remember describing it as it was really peaty, and when I tasted it, you get a really earthy taste.
Yeah.
And Abelor being further south there, so the regions kind of change the flavor, the yep. different regions of Scotland.
Yeah.
And so the thing I remember about Abelor, it was not as peaty. And so okay. I didn't get that earthy, you know, for the uneducated. The uneducated, it was like, yeah. kind of tastes like, well, like dirt.
I mean, it does, though. It's a...
And so, yeah, it was... So it was a less earthy, less peaty flavor, and yet more of the other characteristics of the whiskey.
Okay.
And so I felt like I got a wider range of flavors.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just... And, I mean... And the surrounding and the whole castle experience, and it kind of all built into it together, and so that was just like it just elevated it up the list. So
I wonder then if you tried the Aberlour here, if you wouldn't like it as much because right. you're not sitting there,
sitting in a building from the 20th century.
Right, exactly. I'm fully convinced 100% that the atmosphere will 100% add to it. Like,
absolutely.
I enjoy tequila. I'm a big tequila fan. My wife got me into them. But if you're sitting on a beach in Mexico and better. You get a little pour of tequila, it is like, it could be Jose Cuervo. And I'm like, man, this is really good today. Not like, not to knock Cuervo, but you know, it's not exactly
right.
your top shelf there.
Right. Like drinking a Corona of lime, right? You're sitting in a beach chair, it just, it tastes better.
Man, so we actually, because we just we did get to go on a little vacation, the family and I, and we were down in the Caribbean. And I'm not really a big Corona guy. And we had some there and I took a sip of it. It's got to be the warmth and the humidity. And then, you know, he's got the lime in it and everything for me, too. I take the sip. I'm like, this wasn't this good last time I had it. It's like, nope, it definitely was.
Yeah, it's something about, you know, 90 degrees, 100% humidity, and Christ goes down better.
Corona goes down nice and easy down there. Although, you know, speaking of Mexican lagers, just a little plug for our good friends here. They've got a Mexican lager on tap that is... Excellent, absolutely
yes,
excellent.
Sir.
In fact, if I get a second beer, that may be the one that
that's
I go
the one I'm
with,
going to next. Yeah,
it is something really good for sure. So, cheers again to Crazy Mountain.
Absolutely.
Thanks for hosting us, and we'll be working on a second beer here soon.
Oh yeah.
So since you said you like some of that less of the super peaty kind of flavors,
yeah, it's never really got. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's just. It was almost like a lot of them were too strong. If it was a lighter, like I said, with Abelor, it was less peaty. Right?
Yeah.
It wasn't as in your face, I guess you could say. And so those, I kind of lean toward more.
So you like more of the actual just like malted barley flavors and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously Colorado's got a hell of a lot of single malts that are available at this point. Well, they've got a good amount. I don't know about a hell of a lot, but...
Yeah.
Enjoyed those ones that you've had out here? Have
you
had too many of them?
I haven't had too many of them. Been, you know, tinkering here and there. And you and I spent a good amount of time talking about...
Yeah.
talking about, hey, have you tried this? Or, hey, what about this? And then, so I'm sampling my way through.
Hey, it's the best way to do
but
it.
But, I mean, yeah, it's the only way to learn, right?
Yep. So, some of the... Like single malts that come to mind, you've got Spirit Hound has a single malt, 291 has one, Stranahan's obviously being sort of that OG.
Yeah.
Deer Hammer up in Buena Vista, it's got one, Buena Vista. Which don't want to say it like a white Colorado guy, or do I want to say it like I'm trying to speak Spanish? That's sort of the toss
well,
up it's, there.
It's like the Louis, it's like Louisville versus Louisville, right? Versus, you know, there's a... there's a Buena Vista East Coast, and it's different than a Buena Vista that's here, right? So, yeah, it's, I don't know, you gotta do six of one, half dozen the other.
Right, yeah. But I really like the single malt style. It's been a very, very good, I think, style to have.
Yep.
So I think you've tried Stranahan's, I know, at least some of theirs.
Yep.
Have you tried, I don't know that you've tried Deer Hammer.
No, well, Deer Hammer being a part of this collab was only.
Were they
Deer Hammer?
Were they okay?
I think Deer Hammer was.
Yeah, they
in the
were.
Collab,
they were. Yep. But this one's a wheat, so.
Yeah, so it's a little. It's different. Who's the other one? 291. I've tried. Yeah. I've had some of their stuff.
I don't know if you had because the malt just came out last year.
I don't know
if you've had that one yet.
Not that one.
Try that one. That one, okay. Actually, that was the podcast episode with Colorado Spirits Collective.
Okay.
So if you guys have seen that episode, that was on the release day
for the,
their malt. And that was, man, that was a tasty bottle, let me tell you. Of course, they don't really do a whole heck of a lot
Their
wrong,
stuff doesn't really suck.
No, it does not. But yeah, like they do, there's so many good whiskeys in Colorado. So, I mean, not even just considering the single malt. We're going to come bring it all back here, still stick with whiskey, but what's your favorite Colorado whiskey you've tried so far?
I really like Bear Creek's Single Barrel.
Okay. The Single Barrel Bourbon?
Yeah, Single Barrel Bourbon. I always seem to have a bottle on the shelf.
Yeah, well, no reason not to. Shout out to Bear Creek, man, because they're producing some excellent stuff.
Yeah, they do some solid work.
Yep.
But I really like that bottle. Mash Build.
Oh yes, it was Black Forest, and then they became. Why am I blanking on his name now?
I can't remember the guy's name. But yeah, I like his stuff because you know the blends are always interesting.
The Mash Builds are great.
Yeah.
I mean, I love finding a new bottle of that and being able to taste kind of what he does. Because it's, you know, sourced from all over. It's all sorts of different ages. He's just blending everything until he finds this good combination.
Yeah.
And, damn, he is good at finding a good combination.
And it definitely, like, hits above its weight, right? I mean, it's not a overly expensive bottle, but it drinks like one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Surprisingly, you know, for the cost of it and the quality that you get out of it, so.
Farm and Spirit, I think, is the name of the... I think Farm and Spirit Distillery, I think that's the name now.
Okay.
I'm going to have to double check that and give them some shout-outs on social media for totally butchering their name. But Mash Build, for sure, is
that,
the right...
That's yep, one of my early favorites. That was one of the first ones that I got into, and I really took a liking to.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. I also really like, I mean, just kind of touching on 291 and then Lock & Co. Distillery.
Lock
does the
Co,
same
yeah.
thing.
Yep.
The Aspen Aged.
Yeah.
I think
that's
just
a unique flavor.
I mean, that's sort of a Colorado.
Yeah, definitely a Colorado unique.
Yeah,
because it's not something.
Because like no one, there's no aspen trees in Kentucky. You're not buying staves out. I mean, you could ship them out there, but there's just the first time I tried 291s and the first time I tried Lock & Co. I had kind of that same experience where. You take the first sip, and this is going to make it sound like I go out and lick aspen trees in the fall, but that's the flavor that you get. It's like, but you know kind of what I mean, right?
Yeah.
When you walk out into that, and you get just all of that sort of sensory overload. You get the smell
when you're standing
and all
like an
of
aspen
that.
Grove, yeah.
That's what it tastes like. I don't know how to describe it other than that. But.
That almost, I don't want to say like soggy wetness of fall, but that... There's a little bit of dampness in the air when you're up in the mountains.
Yep.
And you're like walking out, like I can picture walking up this like kind of dirt road.
Yep.
In an aspen grove, and saying that, I can instantly smell it.
It's exactly
what you're talking about.
Just bring it right back to it. Yep. So, I really like that.
Yeah.
So, jumping off of whiskey for just a moment.
Sure.
Favorite, well, you know, Crazy Mountain, obviously, but favorite brewery that you've had out here too.
I really like Burns Family.
Okay, great choice.
Burns Family. Let's see, who else? We bounce around brewery to brewery, you know, from various breweries all the time. Strange is one of my early favorites.
Okay,
they opened not that long after I moved out here. And I got to meet and hang out with Tim and the guys early in their careers here.
Okay.
Early after they opened up the Strange location. So I like their stuff. They're really fun. Avery.
You can't go wrong with Avery.
I really dig. I mean, I'm drinking, you know, a Blood Orange IPA, but my true, like, where I channel to is the Dark Heavens.
Yeah.
And if they're barrel aged, it's even better.
Oh, yeah.
So River North, Avery, Burns Family, I mean, those they hit right in that wheelhouse that I just absolutely
those are great choices.
So those are my top three that I chase after. Just because of that dark heavy.
Yeah, those are great choices right there. So I got a couple more questions for you regarding both drinking and photography. We're going to circle it back to you as well. But before I jump all the way into that, I do just want to take a quick moment to acknowledge the official, unofficial, but official podcast sponsor for the show, Kickin' Ass Mountain Pizza out in Fairplay. Unfortunately, you cannot go buy a pizza right now. If you guys, again, we had a couple of months where we had to take off. My family owns Kickin' Ass Mountain Pizza, which is why it's the unofficial, official, unofficial sponsor. You know, they pay me in pizza, so I go up there, I get free pizza, and then I talk about them on the show. But I mean, the pizza's just so damn good. It's more than worth it. I mean, I really should give them two or three ad reads per pizza they give me, but you know, they're just getting the big read in the middle of the show. But they are closed down for the moment, with health issue with the family. Again, if you guys were on social media, you may have seen what it was. I'm not going to go totally into it. Do want to give a quick shout out to everybody who did support and donate to help the GoFundMe for them to try and help get everything back on the feet once we're all squared away. But really, the best way to support is keep an eye out for when the reopening happens, because it's going to happen. When it does, I will be up there. We're going to make a big deal out of it. It'll be up at Snitching Lady Distillery. I'm going to guest chef. I'm going to make something. I haven't totally decided, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be gnocchi, which, I got really, going to brag a little bit. I got really good at making that. I think they turn out really, really good. So, and then to finish them in the wood-fired oven.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be... Yeah, they're going to be great. So,
well, if you need to make a test batch, you know, before you go.
Oh, for sure.
I'll let you know how things are going.
We'll get your feedback. That way I know if I'm doing it right. But come on up, get yourself some pizza. Their pizza's way better than my gnocchi, I promise, which is really, really good. Because, again, I am very proud of that gnocchi. But they'll reopen up. The pizzas are made by hand, basically right in front of you. They got a little truck that sits right next to the pizza oven. Dough is tossed, dough is coated in sauce that's all handmade, fresh ingredients put right on the top, slid into that super hot pizza oven, couple of minutes in the oven, and it comes out perfectly cooked, golden brown crust, sprinkled with a little bit of smoked salt that I smoke as well, and you can purchase on milehighbourbon.com. And I mean, they're just absolutely phenomenal. So huge shout out to Kickin' Ass Mountain Pizza. Keep you guys' eyes open. We're hoping for this summer, beginning-ish of summer. If we can, that's when we're going to reopen. If they can't, then we'll reopen literally as soon as we can. So keep your eyes open. Shout out Kickin' Ass Mountain Pizza. Biased opinion, but best pizza in Colorado.
Hey, there you go.
It's damn good pizza. And I really love Bojo, so that's saying a lot. So thank you, Kickin' Ass Mountain Pizza, for supporting us through the show, and we're looking forward to enjoying pizza and a cocktail from Snitching Lady at the same time. Absolutely. Shout out Snitching Lady. Speaking of malted whiskey, Snitching Lady's got a malt review of that one up on the site if you guys haven't read it. If you don't really feel like reading it but you still want to know what it tastes like, go get a bottle.
Go get a bottle.
It's damn good. It is very good.
Else.
Yeah, exactly. You can read the label on the bottle, and then it still counts as reading. So, all right, so coming back kind of to photography and everything, I'd like to say, what do you think is, so you're up in Rocky Mountain National Park, you're posted up, you know it's going to be long night, you're getting ready, you're going to shoot Milky Way, you're going to shoot all the other stuff, maybe you're going to pick up sunrise in the morning too. What do you think would be perfect beer, spirit, or, I actually don't even know if you're really a wine guy, but...
No, I've... Can't say I've really gotten into wine.
All right.
Aging sours in wine barrels is about as yeah, a good Chardonnay barrel ages a sour in. That's good.
That's fun.
There's my wine usage.
So before you answer, then I actually have one that it's not a Colorado whiskey, but it was. I'm blanking on the name of it right now too. Thomas something maybe. Either way, but it was a bourbon finished in Chardonnay barrels.
Ooh.
But it was like buttery Chardonnay barrels. So you got this like wicked buttery finish. I don't actually know that I have any of the bottle left, but if I do, I'll, you know, I'll let you know, and you can come. We'll hang out, and you can have yourself a little bit of that.
I want to give it a go at that one,
Otherwise, I may just buy another bottle, because it was really good.
and I'll take a go at that one, too.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so what, beer or spirit then, probably whiskey. If you can keep it Colorado, bonus points. But what do you think's kind of like, what do you think would be the perfect one to sip on while you're sitting there waiting for the photos to get to their right spot?
Honestly, I mean, I take the Bear Creek single barrel. If I'm not doing a Colorado, I would say Eagle Rare.
I mean, that's a solid choice.
I dig some Eagle Rare. At this point, if you can find a bottle that's not $300 million.
Right, yeah.
When you walk into liquor stores now and ask them if they have it, they laugh at you and tell you to get out.
Have you shopped here before? No, exactly. Leave. You're not getting any of this stuff. What are you talking about?
Actually, I won't name the liquor store, but it actually had to happen to me. I think I told you about it earlier this summer.
We happened to be
driving by, and I was like, oh, I just want to go in here and check this out. It was a newer location. And we walked in, you know, my wife's milling about looking, and I'm looking, you know, around. They've got their, you know, locked glass case.
Yeah, sure. You're being offered another beer.
Let's go for that Mexican lager.
Yeah, can I have the Mexican lager as well?
Outstanding.
Cheers, Crazy Mountain. Way. By the way, service here on parallel.
All right.
Yep. I mean, we're not even done yet. He's coming over. He's setting us up. Like,
right?
Absolutely. On parallel service.
Get through it quick.
Yeah. So
anyway.
Yep.
I was walking through this liquor store. They've got their glass cases with all this stuff locked in them. And I'm looking, and I was fairly new in the whiskey game at that point. So I'm just looking at the labels and kind of reading, you know, what's what and looking around. And one of the guys that happened to be working there comes walking over.
Cheers, man.
Thank you, sir.
You so
cheers.
Much. You're welcome.
He comes walking over. He's like, hey, anything I help you, you know, help you find? What are you looking for? I was like, honestly, I'm just wandering around. I said, I'm kind of new at this game, right? And the one I've had that I really like is Eagle Rare. Is he got an Eagle Rare in stock? And he laughed. He's like, hey, you kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Well, and I know from working at a liquor store for a while, I won't name names because I don't like them, but I know, like, when I did like them and I did work there, you know, we'd have people come in all the time, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's the first time I've ever set foot in your store.
Yeah,
I just drove in 3 hours away, and I'm looking specifically for a bottle of Blanton's, and it's like...
Yeah, the bottle hunters.
Right, and you know, it's hard, because if you are just, like, a dude that just randomly stops in, and you're like, okay, so here's what I like. If you have it, awesome. If you don't, what can you recommend? And
sure.
They're like, no, just go away.
Yeah.
But, I do also sympathize with their side a little bit, too, because it's frustrating, because those guys, they get hammered with that stuff a lot.
I mean... I'm sure they get their fair share of the bottle hunters, like you talked about, you know, all day, every day.
Oh yeah.
So when somebody comes in, you know, completely trying to, you know, completely green and trying to learn the game, right? And,
yeah.
You know, asking for the names that you know.
Yep.
Right. Everybody, you know, the bigger names everybody knows.
Yep.
Right. They're all like, oh, you're just bottle hunting. Get the hell out of here.
Yep.
Whereas now I got a little mom and pop.
Okay.
Liquor store, right outside our neighborhood. And I did the same thing. I walked in there one day. I'm standing there, and they got a pretty good wall of whiskey and bourbon. And I was, you know, I'm looking. I'm like, well, you know, getting overwhelmed.
Yeah. Easy to do.
Just find something that I know the name of, and we'll work off of that.
Yep.
And one of the guys comes over, and he's like, anything I help you find? You know, what are you looking for? What do you like? And I was like, well, okay, these are the different bourbons that I've had. Give me some, you know, give me a recommendation somewhere in that line.
Yeah.
And we started talking about some bottles, and he's like, well, what else do you like? And I was like, I kind of chuckled, because this was after
the other guy kicked you out.
And I was like, honestly, I said, one of my favorites so far has been Eagle Rare. He's like, well, here. Reach behind the counter and grab into a box, and he's like, you want a bottle of Eagle Rare? And I was like, why, yes, I do.
See, and the great thing is, when you can find the shop like that, though, that's the, I mean, they're small, they're local owned. You're not getting that from a big chain grocery store. You're not getting that from a big no-name, out-of-state corporation, Total Wine. you're not getting that from those types of guys.
Totally different experience.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys there, I mean, it's you know, mom and pop, it's their livelihood.
Yep.
And so I'm not knocking, you know, the guys who work in the bigger ones. It's not just a 9-to-5 job for those guys, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying the guys that work in the bigger chains that they're not passionate about. I mean, I've talked to a couple guys in some of the bigger stores that definitely like it,
but it's definitely a big difference because they did. Like, I'm sure that store then, you've been back there many times.
Oh, yeah, that's my go-to.
Yeah.
They're my go-to because of the experience I had.
Yep.
Whereas the other place, I was like, I don't need to go out of my way to go to you.
It's not a huge deal. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go slightly out of my way to a place that I've had a better experience with.
Absolutely.
Than stay somewhere that's a little bit more...
Absolutely.
That's been had anything, you know, less than... It's not a good experience, so...
Yeah.
So the Bear Creek, when you're out shooting, obviously, definitely a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say... You had to make... So take your favorite photo that you've taken. Okay? And then think of... different cocktails. What cocktail goes with the photo? Just throwing a curveball at you.
Now you're throwing. Oh man!
See, so this one wasn't on the last episode. This is off the cuff. I just thought this might be fun. Let's see what you can come up with here.
Oh boy. Well, the cocktails that I drink are limited. It's either a margarita or an old fashioned.
Okay. Hey, that's fair. Those are very solid choices of cocktails.
Come on. I'll throw you one of each.
Okay.
So margarita. Fittingly, we were in my wife and I were down in Mexico.
Okay.
In Cabo for my 40th birthday.
We're going
sport fishing.
Sweet.
Cabo's sport fishing capital.
Yeah.
And so we went out on the charter to go fishing, and we get back from the day of fishing, phenomenal day all around. And I was talking to the dock boss for the charter company.
Okay.
And he's like, well, you know, it was early in our trip. This was like day 2 or 3 in the trip.
All right.
And so I had already been talking to him and setting up the reservation and all that. And so he was like, so what else are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, you got your whole week left, right? And so I told him, I'm a photographer. And I was like, while we're, you know, I've seen pictures before, and while we were going out this morning, we passed by, there's an arch as you come out of the marina in Cabo. It's called Los Arcos. And it's this cool arch out in the water. Well, the only way to get to it, by boat.
Yep.
Well, they have what they call water taxis, and it's got, like, you know, guys on basically dinghies that basically ferry you around on these water taxis, right? Well, they're not allowed out before sunrise.
Okay.
They're basically not allowed, they're only allowed out, like, out of the harbor in between, like, sunrise and sunset.
Okay.
So I was like, well, they can't get me there before sunrise.
Yeah.
I was like, so I was kind of bummed, and I was like, man, I'd really like to get out there and somehow figure out how to get out there and take a picture of the arch at sunrise.
Yeah.
He's like, well, when do you want to go? I was like, you pick a day. I've got 6 days left on the trip. I was like, I don't have a schedule.
I'm literally on island time right now.
And he's like, I got a boat that's not doing anything tomorrow. You want to come down here and they'll take you out and let you shoot? I'm like, seriously? He put me on this like 28-foot sport fishing boat, the captain and first mate and my wife. And they're like, he's like, yeah, go out, tell them where you want to go. And they took me out of the marina.
So you just got, like, privately ferried around to take pictures.
And we're sitting there kind of floating along, and I'm taking pictures. And the captain's like, are we in a good spot? Do I need to move the boat? And all that. I was like, this is awesome.
He works for tips, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He was, I bought him a couple margaritas when we got back. So there's how the margarita fits.
Right, yeah, there you go. That's perfect.
Man,
I'm gonna have to. I'm assuming you have that. Is that a picture that you sell, or is that one that you've got?
I think I have it up on my website. No, so I'll put it up there. So that way, it's on my Facebook page.
Okay.
At Facebook, Chuck Raska Photography. But I'll point it out to you. I have to put it up on my website. It's not there. It's pretty cool. The other one, the old fashioned. I have to go with a photo that you're very familiar with.
Oh, good. I was hoping the Red Rocks would make its way in. Yep.
The Red Rocks. So I have a photo of Red Rocks This is back from November 2017, and it was Supermoon night. And so me and a couple buddies decided to go to Red Rocks to try and catch the moonrise over the Denver skyline, over Red Rocks. And so we went out there, and we were sitting there hanging out, and of course Red Rocks being a Denver park, you know, on non-concert event nights, they close it like sundown at dusk. And so we're all, you know, we, you know, kind of get up there in a hurry. I'm like, oh, you know, this is gonna be, the moon was rising right after sunset.
Yep.
So we're like, if they slack a little on us, we may be able to get a shot before, you know, the park rangers show up, or, you know, the park guys show up and say, hey, you got to beat it.
Right.
And so we get up there, we get set up, and got this spectacular shot of standing back in the, kind of in the back corner of the amphitheater. So I got Shiprock, the stage, downtown Denver, and this huge moon rising. And it's the only shot of Red Rocks that I have that it does not have a single person in it. Because they're all standing next to me.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's the only time that you'll ever get a shot like that, too.
And so the guys show up, and they're like, all right, you know, hey, we're getting ready to, you know, we're closing. You guys got to pack it up. And we're like, come here for a second. Come here. The guy comes walking over, and we're like, stand here and look.
Yeah.
And he stopped. He's like, oh, wow, that's pretty damn epic.
Yep.
He's like, cool, click, thanks.
That's awesome.
So Red Rocks and Old Fashioned, right, the darkness and the depth and the flavors of the Old Fashioned, and the moon was the cherry on top.
Hey, you know what?
How's that?
I think that's perfect. That's exactly the type of answer I was hoping to get. And I'm going to be honest. When you said old fashioned, I was like, man, I hope he chooses Red Rock's picture for that one. Because
that's like you're pairing the ash player to the whiskey did, right?
Here we go.
Here's the cherry on top.
That's perfect. We got the, Kale McCarr bad guy.
Yeah.
Man, that was fun. Shout out to Locked On Avalanche for having me on. If you haven't seen that episode, go back, check it out.
That was pretty neat.
If they end up watching this one, I'm always open to join you guys for another episode for sure, because that was a blast. But no, that was a blast pairing all of those for sure. I thought that was just fun. The Red Rocks picture though. I mean, that's probably the next one I'll end up buying for myself.
Yeah, that one is on my website.
Yeah, and you should buy it for yourself because it is awesome. And also just a quick shout out to Chuck, and then also to Mike E. Mike donated to the GoFundMe and everything for my family. Ended up being one of the raffle winners, or, you know, really only two people donated, so he was one of the winners. But he got that picture. He said,
hope you like it.
Yep. It's awesome. He was pretty stoked. He said his he's going to hang it in his kid's room because his kid's really getting into Red Rocks.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? That's...
it's a good introductory.
Right? Well, and that's a cool image to fall asleep to every night.
Yeah.
Kind of want it in my room.
I was like, I ain't gonna lie. I've got one at the house.
Yep.
So I'm down at the... I'm down at VFW Post 1 all the time. So we have...
First Fridays.
First Fridays. Because we are in the Santa Fe Arts District.
Yep.
And we are one of the... I can't say the only anymore, because now we actually helped a couple other VFWs go to this model. But instead of being the dark, smoky bar where it's just, you know, guys in their
VFW,
90s
yeah.
to 100s telling old war stories and being grumpy, we actually put...
You're former military, so you can get away with it. I'm not even going to touch
that. I know
that.
Those guys. just, you know, the stereotypical... VFW, right? The dark, smoky bar, and the grumpy old guys telling war stories, right? We decided to change it up, and we actually use our wall space as gallery space for veteran artists. So we've got painters, we've got metal workers, sculptors, there's a guy that does leather work, to, you know, painters, to digital artists, to photographers, and we all, you know, display our work and sell it. And so it's supporting the local veteran art community, supporting veterans, and bringing awareness to VFW as a whole. But so every first Friday, every third Friday, the Santa Fe Arts District has an art walk. And without fail, I either have it, either have that Red Rock shot either on the wall or in one of my bins that you can flip through.
Yeah.
And I usually have to carry about four or five of them because they sell.
Regularly. Shot's awesome.
And so, yeah, it's one of my, it's a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
So
another shot of yours I really like, just because I saw that one, was you get to do the stock show this year. Yeah. And you got the shot of the bull right in front of Union Station.
Yeah, the steers, the Longhorn steers.
The steer, yeah.
Yeah, so at the beginning of the stock show parade.
Bull steer.
Bull steer, yeah, okay. but yeah, it's probably the iconic shot of stock show.
Yeah.
Is, you know, every year the kickoff parade, and they open the parade by herding a small herd of Longhorn steers right down the street in front of Union Station.
The gentle walking of the Longhorn steers.
Yes, yep. Gentle walking, yeah. Until they get close to you and you realize that you're about to get run over and they're not gentle.
Yeah.
But yeah, this year, I've done it in years past and, you know, kind of been stuck on the side of the street. You know, you don't always get a real good shot, or somebody walks in your way.
Yep.
And this year I decided I was going to brave it because it was typical stock show weather, bitter, cold out. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this trip worthwhile.
Yeah.
And so when the media guys, you know, the press guys and the guys from the different news stations and all that, they all run out to the middle of the street,
yep,
to get their shot, right? Because they've got to, you know, it's got to be the headline on the news broadcast,
oh, yeah,
right, or in the paper. And I happened to be standing behind a couple of guys that were their media, and I told my wife, and I had a buddy of mine that was with me, and I was like, when those guys go, I'm going. And they both were like, really? I'm like, yeah, why not? They'll tell me to get out of the street.
Yep.
And so those guys took off, and I took off after them.
Nice.
And I got out there in the center of the street, got a couple of shots, and I'm, you know, zooming the camera back as they're getting closer, and I'm trying to walk backwards a little bit. And luckily, one of the cowboys that was riding at the front, just out in front of the herd, he saw me shooting, and he started talking to me. And he was like, okay, you know, they're starting to get a little close. And he was basically telling me how far off of the herd I was.
Nice.
And so I was walking backwards, and he was kind of, you know, like stepping me back, like, okay, you know, you got a good distance. You got somebody behind you, hold up. Okay, now you're clear. And so he was basically walking me backwards so I could get this shot.
So you got the royal treatment.
I got the royal treatment just because I happened to step out at the right time, I guess. And so, yeah, that was a really neat experience. A little nerve-wracking, but, you know, you get in behind the camera, and all of a sudden, you know, that becomes, you know, your focus.
Yeah.
And everything kind of, you know,
goes
blank around you, or goes quiet around you. And luckily, I could hear him telling me where I was.
That's good, because I know when you get hyper-focused, easy to block
just
everything out.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest things that got me, you know, that has kept me in the photography. Not only being able to go out and create and get these cool images, but it's a way, you know, sitting alone in the middle of the, you know, middle of the Rockies, in the middle of the night.
Yep.
And, for example, everybody knows Bear Lake, Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yep.
If you get there after 7 o'clock in the morning,
yep,
you get the park roughly 4 miles down the hill.
Right.
and
have a good hike. You needed to get into shape today anyway, so.
So that same Bear Lake in the middle of summer after 7 o'clock at night,
yeah,
you may see two or three other people.
Oh, all right.
And so it's sitting there just along the lake and shooting Milky Way, because it comes up during the late summer, it comes up perfectly over the lake.
Oh, man.
And over Longs. And I mean, it's epic. And so, I mean, you just kind of sit there and, you know, watch the Milky Way, and the stars in the Milky Way go by, and you're looking at the back of the camera, and yeah, everything else just becomes secondary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what keeps me coming back.
That's pretty awesome.
You shut off the outside world like that.
I like to go up there. I don't have a camera or anything, but I just want to sit and watch.
I would say come up with me during the summer. I invite people with me all the time during the summer. And I'll give you the, you know, I'll preface it by saying, okay, tonight we're going to be out for 4 hours. Or, you know, hey, it's 7 o'clock now. We're going to shoot sunset and we're going to shoot sunrise after we're done. So be ready to be out here.
Bring a nice little dram to get me through the evening.
Yeah. Right. But that's exactly why I do it.
That's
total
awesome.
Disconnect from the everyday craziness that is Denver.
Yeah. So. I mean, I love Denver, don't get me wrong. But for sure, it is good to get yourself a step out and just be like, all right, I got to reset. I don't, like, life is not all traffic and go, go, go. It is, right. You know, there's a lot more to it than just what is there. So thank you, Robbie. All right, man. Like, that was probably a pretty good spot to wrap up the episode.
All right.
Around 50-ish minutes or so. Not too bad for a conversation here. So, quick shout-out again, Crazy Mountain. Really appreciate the hospitality, setting everything up. I mean, basically, this corner is sort of my corner.
Your office.
I know. I got a corner office downtown. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Moving up in the world.
Well, one spot at a time, but we're moving. So, thank you all for joining us for another episode. I did for a while, and I haven't done it, so I'm going to try to bring back the Mile High Shoutouts, which is something that I tried to do at the end of every episode if I could. Kind of fell by the wayside. It wasn't something I thought of, and then I remembered it as I was getting ready for this one. So today, I want to shout out a buddy of mine that I met when I worked down in the Springs at Best Buy. Guy started his own coffee roasting company up here, so called Dragon Roast Coffee. Just ordered some, really excited to get into that one, and so give him a little bit of a shout out. I'll let you guys know on social media how much I like it, because I mean, I love coffee. It's just something that I drink a lot of. I go through a heck of a lot of it. I don't know, maybe it's having a teenager. I just have to I need the coffee to, yeah, exactly.
Need whiskey that, or need coffee, that caffeine. Yep.
But shout out to Dragon Roast Coffee. Check them out. They're based out north part of Denver, Thornton area. They're online. Search Dragon Roast Coffee, Facebook, Twitter. Check out their website. I'll link it in the show notes as well. And then, because I've been terrible about doing this for the last two episodes as well, huge thank you to Roma Ransom. They provide the intro and outro music. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. More commonly, I think they're on Instagram posting stuff. Follow them there, because they'll tell you where they're going to go play. And most of the times it's at a distillery or some event something. And so, you go hang out. You can buy music from them. You can Venmo tip them. You can cash tip them right there. Obviously, they appreciate that. And you should always do that when you got people performing for you for free right in front of you. But they do an awesome job. They're a blast to listen to. Wonderful people. So huge shout out to them. And I love the guitar riff that brings in and exits the show. They did such a great job with it. Like, absolutely love that. So super shout out. Big thank you to Roma Ransom. If you've been watching, you've been enjoying the show, give us a like, give us a follow, subscribe. YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. I think smash it is what the YouTubers say. Smash that subscribe button. Or subscribe button.
You can describe it, too.
You can describe it if you want. Yeah, these beers are stronger than I thought. Jeez. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review on Apple. All of those things, all of them just help grow the show. Right now, it's just me doing all of this with, just the dream of sort of growing into a little bit bigger, specifically to help get to know more people around Colorado who are doing awesome stuff like this and the other photos that you can find from Chuck Grasco Photography. So tell everyone where they can find you.
So the website is www.chuckgrascophotography. It's RASCO. I'm on Facebook at Chuck Grasco Photography, Instagram at Chuck Grasco Photography, and Threads. I think that one is Chuck Grasco Photography as well. Try and keep it simple, try and keep it easy, right?
All the same across the board, then everybody can find you all the time.
No, you're not trying to pull up, 8 different Chuck Rasper.
Yep. No, that's awesome. So go check out Chuck. Purchase some of his awesome stuff. You can buy it. So this one's canvas print.
Yeah.
What other options do you have?
So I do, obviously, the canvas. I put on metal, which happens to be my favorite thing to do.
It looks really
it's
cool.
A piece of aluminum with a high gloss coat to it. Makes the colors really pop. So if it's like a sunrise or sunset image, even a Milky Way image, they look spectacular on metal. And I also do your standard photo papers, so even some of the fine art, kind of nicer papers too.
Okay. So you get just big poster paper instead of doing it on the canvas if you wanted something
like
that?
Yeah, if you want to, you know, have a 48-inch, you know, framed print.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah,
okay. So there's all sorts of options.
Oh, yeah, all sorts of options.
Sweet. I saw canvas and I was like, that's what I want, and didn't even look at other options.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I go from 8x12 up to 5 foot.
Oh, nice.
So.
And I'll also tell you, when you purchase them online, they ship quick. I bought this one and it was, I think, 3 days later, I got the first.
Yeah, the guys who do my canvas.
Like, it was, bam, it was fast turnaround.
And these guys are local. It's a local Colorado company.
Oh, so
up
then
we're
supporting even extra local.
Yeah.
I mean,
and so they kick ass, and I love their work, and they're super quick to get stuff to me and my customers. So.
There's nothing I love more than just keeping everything as local as I can, because it is a Colorado craft podcast. But so definitely go check out Chuck Rasko. Find us on social media as well. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, everything that you can think of under the sun. You know, I'm not as active on a couple of them because it's just too many for one man to manage, but, you know.
I'm the same way.
I try to post, and we'll be a lot more active. Hope to have you guys, you know, go give us a follow, interact, let me know, you know, hey, you just went and discovered a new brewery, distillery, whatever.
Yeah.
You checked out a winery. There's a bunch of wineries that, like, they don't get as much attention, and wine's not as big of my drink, but... Man, the Western Slope just has so many wineries. That's where the wife and I spent right after we got married. We did kind of a mini honeymoon out in Grand Junction, and just we stayed at an Airbnb on
winery.
A winery.
Yeah, that's becoming a thing.
Woke up in the morning to the sunrise over the vines, and man, that was just absolutely awesome. So check that out. Another way that you can support Mile High Bourbon, go to milehighbourbon.com/shop. Nailed it. And you can purchase Rocks glasses, very much like the one you see here, with our logo on the front of it. You can also get smoked salts that we use on Kickin' Ass Mountain Pizza. They are the ones who put that on there. The salt I smoke on my own, I buy big flaked sea salt, put it in the smoker, smoke it for 6 to 8 hours, comes out, in my opinion, very humbly, absolutely amazing. But, like, I mean, it's great because I love smoky flavor, but I can't smoke everything I cook. And sometimes you don't need that much. So you just add a little bit of the smoked salt, and it just gives it sort of a depth that wasn't there before.
What do you cook that you can't smoke?
When it's negative 16 degrees out.
So?
My smoker,
You shovel a pathway to the grill, and then branch off to the smoker.
Touche. Guess I'm smoking more food from now on. But check it out, milehighbourbon.com/shop. You can purchase those things there. And in addition to the revenue supporting, obviously, Mile High Bourbon, any and all sales, a portion of them will always be donated to local Colorado charities. It kind of varies based on who's getting what charity. We supported the Junipalooza with Talnua, it was the Westminster Animal Hospital, I believe, was the charity that it went to for that one. We've supported Denver Dumb Friends League. We've got a thing for animals, so we do a lot of support there.
Yep.
So, you know, local Colorado charities, we're always trying to help out stuff like that. So check us out. Follow us all there. Thank you all to everybody who's tuned in for another episode. Can't wait to see you guys for another one. And again, big thank you to Chuck for joining us for another show. And one more shout out to Crazy Mountain for... Man, this Mexican lager's really good. I need summer to get here, and I just need a couple cans of this in the backyard, man. It's going to be great, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, everybody. Thank you, Chuck, and we'll see you guys all next time on a Colorado Craft Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.